in Bulgaria, but still maintain the connection. We had met the Wagner family online via blogs, but still, God just held on that connection there with them as a family. And then later on, we got to, you know, they worked with college students at Asbury, and we were working with college students here as well. And about the time we came on as being pastors, they got called to Albania. And so it's just been a journey, and they've become dear friends to ours, and not only to us personally, but to our body as well. We got to travel there as a family to do a mission trip, and then a few years later got to send a team from the church to serve there, and even have been able to send interns for college students here who may be interested as well. But, you know, what impresses us so much about them, they have such a vision to reach their area, and are so creative in ways that the Lord gives them to reach them, and they do everything with excellence, and it's just, it blows our mind. And so we're going to start off with a video, and then we're going to have Nathan come and speak. I'm just going to open us with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for this glimpse into what you're doing around the world. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, this friendship that you've given to us as a church, and Lord, we thank you, as Josh said, just for the opportunity to partner with you in what you're doing. And Lord, we just want to open our hearts to receive from you everything you have for us this morning, and give us eyes to see and ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have people and children come here and get to know him very well, and why not be the next Louie or Ada?
There are so many things we would like to do. We're a small organization, but we're encouraged by other ministries we're seeing that are popping up throughout the country, and we're able to band together and kind of fill the gap together, hand in hand, and support one another, because the need is just so great here.
We believe that our mission is what's best. We believe that this community is worth investing in. And God has not forgotten Balashai. God has not forgotten Albania. And this Yetta building is a testament to that. Yetta is a miracle.
Yetta is community.
Community, safety, and yeah,
love,
and life in Christ.
Yeah, I'm always homesick after watching that. Those are our people. Before I get started, I want to bring greetings from the church at Yetta. That's what they would do if they were here. And it's a pleasure to be at a place where people have come and have brought greetings from your church to our village as well. And so thank you for that, the partnership that we have in the gospel, the partnership that what you saw today is possible because of your partnership with us and your work in expanding the kingdom. I have even a shoebox story, but I'm not going to share it right now because there's already been an awesome shoebox story shared. But if you want to tab Seidel or I at lunch or at the table in the back, you want to hear another way that God used just this year, used shoeboxes to open a door into a family, into a life, into a Muslim family and life there in our village, we can share that with you. I am the mouth, but I am not the brains or the beauty of our crew. Ellie's the beauty. She's waving back there. This is our family. Elisona is just turned 18 this summer. Rennie, 14. I won't say how old Seidel is, but she's getting cataract surgery. So, and no, she's not old enough for that. And we have been serving in Albania now for 10 years. And God has opened lots of doors. We are in a place that's very different than we thought we would be when we started, even 10 years ago. God he directs. As you guys were singing, as we were praising God this morning and talking about how worthy our God is for worship, my heart said, oh, if we could just, if our neighbors knew this. Man, what a burden we have for our community to be able to sing as you guys have sung about the glory of God. Today I'm going to do something a little bit different. It's called orality. It's a storytelling methodology that is being used in missions around the world, especially in places where storytelling is a big part of the culture. Albania is one of those places. We have friends that are actually using this to do seminary work in East Africa with people who can't read. And there's a two-year seminary that they are doing morality and teaching the Bible this way. So I'm going to tell you a story from the Bible. It's a true story. I'm not going to tell you where it is right now because Americans cheat and they look it up. But I'll tell you at the end where it is, and you can study it further. But I want you to listen very closely to the story, and because I'm going to ask you to retell parts of it. And then we're going to walk really slowly through the story, looking for treasures that God might have for us in the story. So this story is from the Word of God. This morning, the verses that were read earlier about God working all things for good, and Paul mentioned and stuff, I was like, man, maybe God knows what he's doing, because there's some overlap here. So go ahead and put up the next slide. I'm doing this. I don't expect you to be able to read this, okay? But this is Paul's second missionary journey, and I'm just setting the stage. You don't need to read the little places he's going or anything, but instead of just having my picture up there the whole time, this puts context. So before we start the story, let me put it in context. Paul in Acts did three missionary journeys, and his first one, he traveled through a lot of the lower Asia, Turkey area, and some almost touching Europe, not quite getting into Europe, to many cities. And everywhere he went, the gospel was received, but there's some friction there, because there were some Jews that were wanting to be believers, and then there were some Gentiles wanting to be believers, and they were arguing about how Jewish you had to be a believer in Jesus. So some people argued that the diet had to be the same. Some people were arguing about things like circumcision and all of these things. So Paul, at the end of his first missionary journey, ends up in Jerusalem. He goes to the council with the elders and the apostles and asks the question, how Jewish do we have to be a Christian? Or can we be a follower of Jesus and keep our cultural heritage in a way, I guess you could say? So the church, the council basically said, okay, that you don't have to convert to Judaism first. There are things that you need to be abstain from worshiping idols, obviously, abstain from sexual immorality, and follow Jesus. And if you do those things, good. So now Paul is building a team. He has a brand new team for the second missionary journey. So that's where our story starts. Okay? As they traveled through the towns and cities, they shared with them, for observation, the findings that were made by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. And so the churches were strengthened in their faith, and they grew in numbers daily. And they traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they got up to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. That's the end of the story. I doubt anyone is brave enough to try to tell the whole thing, but I will throw that out just for a second. If we were in a small group, I would ask that. Usually in a bigger group, no one is ready to try to tell, especially with all the names of all the cities. So, okay, let's walk through it together. Okay? As they went through the cities, they delivered for observance what? What were they delivering to the... Yes. Oh, not Ellie. Someone else. I saw a hand, and I'm like, the teacher in me, like, yes! Yeah. Yeah, they delivered for observance the decisions that were made by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. Good. And what happened to the church when they did that? What was the result? Okay, the numbers increased. It even says, the story says the numbers increased daily. Yeah, and what else? Yeah, and they were strengthened in their faith. Uh-huh. They grew in faith, so they were strengthened in their faith, and their numbers grew daily. Good job. Good job. And so then they traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Why? Why did they go through and didn't stop in the cities there? Okay. The Holy Spirit forbade them from doing what? Yeah, speaking the word in Asia. We'll get back to that. But that seems strange to me. So they went on to Mysia and attempted to go on to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did what? Yeah, he didn't let them. He forbade them again. So they went past Mysia and went down to, does anyone remember where they ended up? Troas. They ended up in Troas. And what happened in Troas? Something happened in the night. Okay, a vision appeared to who? Paul. And what was the vision? A man from Macedonia. And what was he doing? He was standing there and urging them to come. And what was he saying? I heard someone say it. Come on over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, what happened? Okay? Yeah, and there's a specific word in the story. Yeah. That's okay. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to do what? Go. Immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding what? What was their conclusion? Yeah, that God was in this, wasn't it? Concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Good. Let's now walk through and look for treasures in this. So Paul and his companions went through the cities, sharing for observance what the apostles and elders in Jerusalem had decided. What do we see? What do we see about Paul's heart? What is something we might be able to learn about Paul and his companions' heart from that, from just that first opening phrase? Humility, uh-huh. Okay, they're taking time. What else? Obedience. Yeah, obedience and humility together. Obedience to whom? Or humility where? Like, I agree with those. Who was he submitting himself to? Who was Paul and the companions submitting themselves to? The elders who were in Jerusalem. What other option could Paul have done? What else could he have done? Let's have a holy imagination here and think outside the box. What, if you can imagine Paul, what could he have done? Yeah. Yeah, there were probably some things that the council said that he may not have been as excited about. as other things. He may have picked and chose what he was going to share. But he didn't. He submitted to the larger church at the time. Yeah, what does that, we see the humility that shows, good. Okay, so then they travel through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Spirit to speak the word in Asia. What do you think we might learn about the Holy Spirit in this? What did the Holy Spirit do, first of all? What?
He spoke to them.
Somehow they heard this. They understood this. And what did he say? Don't speak the word in Asia. Does that surprise you? If you were the Holy Spirit, what would you have said, maybe?
Tell everybody,
right? Right? Doesn't this go against the going to the whole world and preach the gospel to every person? You know, what's wrong here? Yeah, there's something that when we have a dissonance against God and our minds don't match up with his, we can be pretty sure that his way is better, right? Right? Even though it was confusing. What did Paul and his companions do? They obeyed. They submitted again. Paul loved to talk about Jesus. That's all he did. And this had to kill him to go through an entire region and say, nope, can't say the word here. In fact, if you do look on the map, when they got to Mysia, that was on the other side of Asia, and then they're like, okay, maybe now it's time for God. We're going to go into Asia from this side. Maybe he didn't want us to come from the south. We'll go from the north. And the Spirit of Jesus forbade them. What did Paul and his companions do that second time? We're trying again to get into Asia. We're trying again to get there. What? Yeah. He did. He tried again and again. But when God said no, what did he do? He didn't let him. Didn't let him. So I love the part of the story. It says, so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. Okay, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'll keep walking. So what happens in Troas? What happens in Troas? Just as a reminder again. I know he has the vision. So in Troas, Paul has a vision at night of a man from Macedonia urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So now, what do we know about God from that little portion? What maybe can we learn about the character of God from this vision that was given? Okay. Yeah, Paul had a job to do, and God wanted to get him to that job, right? Because he cared for this group, right? The Macedonians in this case. Yeah? Yeah. This whole time they're walking through, okay, here, no, 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 no. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, this is what God has for us, right? This is what God has for us. What did Paul's companions do when they heard about the vision? It was that key word that I pointed out. Immediately, they said, let's go. Immediately, we sought how to go get into Macedonia. What does that show about Paul and his companions? Their obedience. They were eager to obey, even, to go in. There was probably and finally we know what we're supposed to do. This is what God's called us to do. Let's go immediately. Now, what could they have done? What could the, you have Paul and his companions. Who did God appear to in the vision? Paul. What could the companions have done differently than what they did do? They could have doubted. They could have disagreed. They could have said, let's stay in Troas until I get a vision too. Right? Are you sure, Paul? Because we've tried to go to other places and this hasn't happened. Yeah?
It's your dream, man. You go.
Exactly. Exactly. They could have said, awesome. We'll pray for you. Go on in. Yeah. And if you know much about Macedonia at that time, it could have been a little bit of a scary place. But what did we learn from their heart? Because they said immediately, we're going to go. We're going to join. They trusted God. And what? They were faithful. Yeah. They're in it together. Again, Paul's not doing this Lone Ranger, is he? He's doing it together. They are obedient. And they're obedient together, aren't they? Yeah.
They trusted Paul, too.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. So they saw Paul as a leader, maybe in their group. Paul saw the apostles and elders as a leader. There was this sort of not named structure necessarily, but they were going together. This was all together. And immediately, they sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to teach or to preach the gospel to them. How do you think it must have felt? How would you have felt to be one of Paul's companions at this point? What do you think?
You could have felt jealous.
Maybe. Why didn't I get the vision? Okay. Yeah, you may not have trusted him. Could there have been some sort of relief as well that, man, now we know what we're supposed to do? This is what we were made for. This is what God brought us to this point for. Yeah. Yeah, and what about the story tells you excitement? I agree.
Immediately.
We're
waiting for this.
Exactly.
Just let me go, cut me loose.
Yeah, this happened at night, and immediately they're ready to go. They're not even saying, let's wait till the morning necessarily. Like, it immediately. One of the really cool things about the story, too, is that the story starts out with they went, they went, they went. And then he, talking about Paul. But when it got to this immediately part, and it was immediately we. And the rest of the story is we. All the way home. As you guys were laughing, I was like, well, oh, yeah. So. Let me ask you, does this happen today when we might think, okay, I God's got to want us to go to Asia and speak the word, and there's something that shuts the door? Does that happen today? Has that happened to any of you? I can tell you that the team that God's brought together in Albania, all of us have a story sort of like that. God has shut the door to something we thought we were going towards and directed us to Albania. Can you go put the team up there, the team picture? For 10 years, Sidon and I have been, our family has been in Albania for 10 years. for the first 5 years, it was just our family, as far as the foreigners. We were a part of an Albanian team that was working, but it was just our family. And then 5 years ago, God sent a young woman from Indiana who joined our team. She has been awesome, but we're all Midwesterners. We're all American. Pretty much nothing we disagreed on, because we're all seeing the world in the exact same way. In the last 18 months, God has sent 5 more missionaries from 5 different passport countries to serve alongside us, serve with us together. All of them were headed somewhere else. Albania was not on their radar. Albania was not really on our radar. It was through adopting our kids where God started laying that on our heart. We had a ministry, a college ministry that we loved, that was flourishing, that we felt fulfilled in, and God's like, nope, I want you there. And what's cool is he also gave us that excitement and the urgency of immediately going. That's part of our story too, is once the vision was cast in our heart, even though we had something where God had us, we were ready to go. Tiffany had raised all of her support to go to India. She had her prayer cards with India on it. She had a nose ring because she was going to India and was going to, you know. And God ended up directing her, closing the door to India in some very, she tried door A, B, C. She'll tell you that she was at like door G when finally she said, okay, let's just see where God wants me. And she ended up in Albania for a short term and has been with us for 5 years and is a wonderful asset to the team. The Artoni family, who is sort of second from the right, straight up and down, the two little girls and the guy in the back with a little bit of a buzz cut, sort of, and his wife, they're from Argentina. He got kicked out of Turkey, and he was a coach of the national blind soccer team in Turkey. He's a FIFA certified coach who loves disability ministries, and all of a sudden, Yetta was the fit that God had moved him to, and they are thriving. We love that family. Luli has joined our team in the last year. He's the tall one behind Seidel there, the one who said all the moms kicked them out of the house. He got kicked out of the house a lot. And it was somewhat true of all the moms, but not kicked out, but like, go out and play. And he has gone through the process and is now a missionary with the World Gospel Mission. He's raising his support to be full-time with us there in the village. He just got married. It's a wonderful story. There's another family that is not pictured there that has come since this picture was taken, from Chile and Colombia. And so now our majority language on our team is Spanish. And man, how I wish I had paid attention to Spanish in high school much, much better than I did. What God has done in our team is he's made us slow down. He's made us walk together more slowly through translation, through cultural looking at things from different perspectives. And we have a team that's committed to showing the kingdom culture, not an American culture, not an Argentine culture. And no longer, our village for many, many years said, it's nice that you're bringing an American Jesus. You know, you're a Christian because you're an American. Look at our team now. They can't say that any longer. They're going to have to say, oh, because you're from Argentina and Italy and like, no, the kingdom of heaven is growing, and we love the fact that it started out as a they, and then it was sort of a us, small, and now it's a we. And God is opening up new avenues of ministry. Thank you for being a part of that story. Thank you for being part of the immediately we sought to help you get there. That like the companions of Paul. On your chairs, you all, most of you, I think we did every third chair or something like that. You don't have to take it if you don't want to, but the cover story of this is the magazine of our mission agency, comes out quarterly, and when we saw that the cover story was about Yeto, we're like, oh, can you get us a box of these? And so we've been handing them out. I wanna ask you specifically, if you look at the cover, and you look at the last kid, his eyes are up, he's a little bit blurred out, in the red shirt in the back. All of these kids need prayer, and I could tell you stories of all of them. I just want to tell you, this is Goosey. Okay, I don't know how that you can remember that. We all the way home, Mother Goose. Okay, if you don't get anything else, think. Okay, Goosey. Goosey is the grandchild of our imam, of the imam of our area, the Muslim cleric in our area. And yet he is allowed to come to Yeta. He's coming to soccer school. He comes to our camps. He came to VBS. Muslims don't really necessarily believe that kids have it all up here. They're just like marbles rolling around. And so, yeah, go ahead. As a kid, go. Who cares? Once they reach 12, 13, 14, now take your Islam seriously, and we lose a lot of youth at that age. But pray for Goosey. He is a problem child, as you might imagine. It's sort of darkness that comes when he comes. However, we're seeing God work in his life. We're seeing him soften. This poor kid has been bullied, and he is the bully. You know, he's one of those situations. So pray for Goosey. Pray with us for Goosey. The middle story is more about Yeta. A lot of it you saw in the video. But pray for us as we are a city on a hill there in Velashai. We are the only church among 10 villages that pour into the public school that our kids go to, our village kids go to. We're the only church, the only evangelical presence at all there. And we had been praying, how do we get into these villages? How do we get into these villages? How do we make connections with these other villages? Yeta has allowed us to have a soccer school and summer camp programs. And now we have contacts of kids from all 10 of those villages have come to us. They've come. They're in a way that only God would do. They're paying us to reach them. Yeah, we'll come to teach my kids soccer. Here's some money, and we're like, yes, God, we have we're another one and another one. And so be praying for us as we are strategically looking how to expand into these 10 villages, and be praying for our team. God has blessed our family with such strong partners like you guys. And we don't live in a daily fear of where the next meal is coming from. That's not necessarily the case with some of our Argentine colleagues, with even Luli and Hannah as they're trying to raise their support. So be praying for them that God would bring a team of partners for them as well. Because we need to be strong together moving forward. I feel like I'm forgetting something. Seidel's not remembering anything. If you are interested in connecting with Luli or the Artonis or these other families, maybe you speak Spanish and you want to get a prayer letter in Spanish. I can't read it, but the pictures look nice, you know, that type of... If that's the case and you would want to encourage and pray for them, we have QR codes in the back that link to their page, and there's a button that says, put me on your mailing list. And there's a little more information about their family and things there. We will bribe you in the back of the table with Albanian coffee for the adults and Albanian candies for the kids. So if you just want to come and visit us there. But going back to the story, the story in your Bible is in Acts 16. And if you look at it in most versions of the Bible, it says this is the Macedonian call is the name of it. Why does it not say it's the Asian disaster? What do you think? Do you know the rest of the story? Did you know that Paul got into Asia? That very place of Galatia, he had to go through and wasn't allowed to speak. There's a book of the Bible called Galatians that he wrote there because he had been there. God was not saying no. He was saying, I have this for you now. And I firmly believe that if Paul had gone into Asia, he never would have made it to Macedonia. But God needed to get him to Macedonia first so that Asia he could do later. The other thing about Macedonia that it touches our heart is that the region of Macedonia in Bible times included Albania. Paul in Romans says, I preached the gospel all the way to Illyricum. That was the more specific Albanian province. So when I see the story, I see my Albanian neighbor saying, come over to Albania and help us. And what a treasure it is that Paul and his companions obeyed, because the gospel actually, that was the first inroads into all of Europe, was this Macedonian call. And so you have heard, because Paul obeyed and his companions obeyed, this call. So the rest of the story, and being in the story, sometimes don't mesh. If you are in a place right now where you're walking through maybe a desert place where it feels like God keeps saying no, 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 let me encourage you that you're not lost. That God has something for you. He has a plan for you. You may not see it right now, but he has a plan for you. He wants to use you in the furthering of his kingdom, wherever that is. Keep walking in obedience. Make your way to Troas. And obey when he gives you the vision of what he wants for you. Thanks. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth from your word. We thank you that Paul and his companions obeyed you, that they listened to your voice, that they understood it was your voice, and they obeyed you. We thank you that they went together. They went as a team. And we thank you that they reach Europe. We thank you that we're a result of this Macedonian call. God, I pray for anyone today that is in Asia and wants to speak in Asia and you're saying no. Lord, help them to trust you. Help them to listen for your voice. Help them to keep walking in faith with you. And Lord, be faithful to show them what you have for them. Lord, go with us today in our times of fellowship, in our times of outreach, the harvest party tonight, our times of conversation around meals here and at home. Lord, may your name be glorified. And we ask these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.